Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton. And wow, we're like, what is this, the second week in into this new reality that we're living in. And I'm really excited about today's guest because I think so much of this role as a nurse ties into public health, community health. So without further ado, today I have on the show Shannon Schuler. She's a registered nurse and she is certified as a public health nurse. She's currently practicing as a licensed school nurse. She's also nationally certified in holistic nursing and school nursing. And Shannon approaches her work with both creativity and intuition. Two of my favorite attributes or things. So Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yay. Okay, so I like to share with people how I have connected with my guests. And I'm pretty certain we met on Facebook, right?
I think so, yes.
And maybe a holistic nurses group?
Yes, I believe we were both commenting on a similar thing and probably in a like the holistic nurses group on Facebook.
Cool. And then lo and behold, this is why I love socials because I meet people and then I'm like, oh my gosh, and you live like in my backyard. So we actually got to meet face to face. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was kind of a long time ago too.
Yes, which is so funny because I've been thinking, oh, I got to have Shannon on the show. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And this, I think the reason we didn't connect back then is because you were supposed to be on the show during this interesting time that we are living in. And so let's dial it back for a little bit just to, I really also like to highlight on the show that there is no one path for a nurse. You know, there used to be all these, I would call them made up rules where people say, well, you know, you have to do this first and then you do this. It's like, well, what works for me might not work for you and vice versa. So I think there's no pie in the sky rule. I think when we listen to our creativity and our intuition and our soul, then we do create and manifest and find the right roles for us. So Shannon, why don't you tell us a little bit about as much or as little as you want of, you know, your journey as a nurse and kind of how you landed to where you are now working as a school nurse.
Yeah, I think you're really right talking about just following your intuition and your soul and that there are kind of these arbitrary rules about how to get into being a nurse and how to be a nurse and the steps you have to follow in order to be successful. And I just, one of the first things that always comes to my mind is I never in my life ever thought that I would ever want to or actually become a nurse. Like I didn't think I would ever want to be a nurse. And even if I did change my mind, I didn't think I would probably become a nurse because of some of the things that nursing involves that are just so, can be so traumatic and harsh, including just dealing with people who are just so severely injured or ill or broken or traumatized in so many ways. It's a really hard reality to face. So that's kind of where it comes in with like the intuition and following the messages in your soul. I, all of a sudden, I had been on this path of trying to become, getting more into healing work and being trained in Reiki and being trained in teaching yoga and different kinds of healing modalities that were very interesting to me. And then it just kind of occurred to me that a lot of the people who really could use the kind of healing and help that I would be able to offer them with all these healing modalities are people that would never even know about them if they didn't find out about them through their traditional avenues that they go to for their health, such as going to their regular doctor or being treated by a nurse in a clinic. And it just kind of came to me that the best way to get these healing modalities to, the bigger population would be to come through traditional health services such as nursing.
I love that. It's funny, right? How we think we're on this path. I love that visual of the life of an entrepreneur, how it's, you know, it's so erratic, and we would use the word laybell. It's like 1 minute you're up and then you're down and then you're up. Like, to me, that's a great visual or metaphor for life. We think that it's linear and it's just not.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about, I think there's never been a better time. Again, I was saying, I think the reason we didn't connect earlier to have you on the show is because this is the time that we're supposed to have you here. Because to me, now I have never been a school nurse, and I was sharing with you, Shannon, before we hopped on, how when I was about 9 years old, I would literally go to the nurse's office pretty much every day because I was experiencing a lot of stress on the home front, and it was manifesting in this horrible, like, gut ache, stomach ache. And I felt so comforted, so reassured that I could go to the nurse's office. Like, I could still conjure up the smell of the room and the sound of the crinkly paper. She would allow me to lie down on the little bed. And so I'm sure there's so much to school nursing that so many people, even nurses ourselves, don't really have any clue about. Like, what kinds of things are you doing in school nursing, number one? And number two, is there something that surprised you, Shannon, or that you were just like, wow, I had no idea that this was going to be part of my beingness, serving this role in the community?
So the first part of your question, what was the first part of your question, Lisbeth?
So just what kinds of things do you do as a nurse and the role of being a school nurse?
Oh, well, my primary role as a school nurse, I would say, is to build up relationships with the students and their families in the school where I work. Part of building up those relationships is just being able to talk a student through situations, such as, maybe I'll use your example. I work with high school students, but as a 9-year-old or as a high school student coming in with a stomach ache that you can't explain, but it comes on at the same time every single day, and you also have other certain feelings that go around with it, and it probably is due to anxiety. I spent a lot of time talking my students through different scenarios that might help them understand that the stomach ache doesn't necessarily mean that they are ill with a sickness. It might mean that they need to relax their nervous system a little bit, or try some different techniques that might get them through their anxiety, rather than thinking that they might be sick with something and they might have to take medicine for the stomach pain. Actually getting to realize that maybe the stomach pain is being caused by something, some different emotions or something else that's going on in their lives, and allowing them that space and time to just take a break and relax and learn to trust the nurse, me, and that we can have that relationship so that we know later if the student does come with other complaints, that they can trust that I'm going to be there to help them and support them.
So when you're talking, I'm just thinking of, wouldn't it be cool? Now, I know that there are certain places around the country and the world that are teaching mindfulness and also yoga in schools. And because you really are fulfilling a role that I feel like every human needs, especially, you know, coming of age. It'd be even better if we could get this, you know, in kindergarten, first, second grade. So we have these tools. Usually we use these tools. We learn these tools when we're in the middle of some kind of crisis, right? Where we're like, we're looking for an alternative because maybe the meds aren't working or we're getting sick all the time. So to me, what you're doing is like sacred work for sure. So I thank you.
Well, thank you.
Seriously,
I do notice that in different realms of education, public education, where I'm working in a public school system, that the mindfulness is integrated throughout a lot of the classwork and a lot of the even staff development. So I think it is an important part that people are learning that the those mindfulness techniques before they're in a state of crisis. And I would also argue that oftentimes our students, we don't know what their home lives are necessarily like or what they've been through in their lives. So perhaps they are in a state of crisis more often than we even realize.
Yes, which is why I think the school nurse, like you're wearing so many hats, you're really filling so many roles, specifically for the vulnerable child who's, you know, school is like their safe haven.
Yeah, for a lot of students, school is their really predictable place, the place that they know that it's always going to be there and always going to be the same. And that's what's, I think, a really difficult part of this very time in our lives during this COVID-19 outbreak, where this is the first time ever in my recollection that school has been canceled, postponed, moved directly to online, where students aren't able to access the building every single day during the school year. And I think it's really disruptive it's disrupting everyone, but I think especially for our students.
I couldn't agree more. While some people might be like, woohoo, this is great, like we don't have to go to school, but other kids, like we're saying, this is their safe haven. So in terms of your role during this pandemic, how has that affected you're working from home, right? Still, you're just not engaging with the students, or how's that looking for you?
Yes, well, it's a kind of a learning process for everybody involved, I think, because it's such a new thing. Nobody has ever really done it before, but I am working from home, yes. There are a lot of things that I can do remotely that directly are part of my job, such as writing up the health portion of special education reports and reviewing huge all school reports having to do with immunizations and different kinds of reports of illnesses throughout the year. There's a lot of behind the scenes work that school nurses do that I have been able to continue doing while the school buildings are closed. And as far as interacting with the students, I have had some online interactions with a few students. Like I said, I work in a high school, and there's certain communications that are just important to have. Like if the student had medications in the school building that they need to have at home, or one example also is that we just recently had a big, huge vision screening for the students. So this really awesome program came in to our high school and screened the students for vision issues. And if the students did not pass the vision screenings, they got an eye exam on site with an eye doctor and got prescribed glasses if they needed them. So all of that took place just the week before schools closed. And now all of these students are going to get brand new glasses, which is super, super awesome. And they were going to be delivered to the school, but now school's closed. So we have to figure out a way to get these brand new glasses to the students during school closure. And that's something that I'm working on right now too.
Wow, so many roles you're fulfilling. And how cool and timely is that they got screened and they're gonna get their glasses?
Wow. I know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that there's a way to get them their glasses. I mean, they went through the whole entire process, everything they needed to do to get prescribed the glasses. I think the glasses are going to be ready soon, and we just got to figure out how do we get the glasses into the hands of the students. But that's something that I'm going to be working on during the school closure too.
That is so exciting for those students. Wow. I love that.
It is. It's exciting. It's exciting for me. I got to see how really important it is to these students to have glasses. A lot of them are emailing me and saying, do you know when the glasses are coming? Do you know how I can get them? And some of these students hadn't ever had an eye exam in their lives. Some of them have never had glasses, didn't even know that they needed them. And now that they know, that I think they're probably realizing, oh, no wonder it was so hard for me to see in class. I needed glasses.
No, seriously. I think that those of us who have had an eye exam, who do have, you know, correction, whether that be glasses or contacts, it's one of those things, right? We take so many things for granted, but I'm thinking of some viral video. I think it was on Facebook, you know, this adorable child who like actually can see for the first time and he puts the glasses on. It's like, oh my gosh, you mean like this is what I've been missing? I mean, that's so profound on so many levels, like not getting headaches, not having to squint to read, or wow, that's an incredible gift.
Yeah, seriously, it is. I'm hoping we can work out a way to get those glasses into the students' hands during the school closure or as soon as possible.
I'm sure it's all going to work out the way that it's destined to be, and it will be lovely. I want to reflect back to something that you said in the beginning of the show where you're like, you had no intentions of being a nurse, and it's funny how life, you know, serves us or provides us opportunities that meet our needs. And before we got on, you and I were talking about you never really saw yourself like being a school nurse. So is there something about school nursing that maybe you sort of assumed or had this idea, and now that you're in it for a couple of years, that surprised you? Or, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think it ties back to what you had said earlier, like people don't really even know what a school nurse is or what they do. And I think it boils down to a lot of people who aren't in the medical field or aren't nurses don't know what nurses do altogether. But even especially being a school nurse, there are some times that I'm revered as like the fountain of all medical and scientific knowledge, that, you know, just come to me with a question and I will absolutely know the answer. And at other times I am kind of also not, I wouldn't say revered, but just I get the impression that people don't even realize that I am an actual real nurse, like that I went to nursing school and that I'm a registered nurse, and they think that my role is just kind of like a secretary who gives pills. So there's a lot of misconceptions. I think I was surprised about how little people understood my role, and how much advocating has to take place just to establish what my role is before I even begin advocating for students or for staff or for whoever else is in the school. I have to spend a lot of time establishing this is what we do here, this is what we don't do here, when it comes to my role as the nurse and what happens in the health office at school.
Wow, that made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about, for example, I think what you're saying is so spot on. People are so, and it's like you say, oh, well, you're a nurse. Well, people just assume you work in the hospital. It's like nursing is the most diverse profession in the world. And people either think you know the answer to everything medical, or, you know, they don't understand your knowledge or your expertise. So let's tell a little bit about, like, for example, you can't just come to the nurse's office and get like a cough drop or essential oils. Can you speak a little bit to like what you're allowed to do? Or
yeah, and funny that you bring that up. That is one of the most commonly asked questions, I think, is can I please have a cough drop? And we don't, even when I worked as a hospital nurse, we didn't just have cough drops in our pockets walking around to give to people. It was still considered a medication that had to be ordered by a physician in order to be administered to a patient. Even if you're inpatient in the hospital, cough drop counts as medicine. And it seems funny because you can just go to the store and buy them, just like you can go to the store and buy Tylenol. But even in my school nurse role, I'm not allowed to give somebody an over-the-counter medication unless I have permission from their parent that's written down. I've got permission from their physician that says this, you know, this person needs to take this medication at this certain time each day or as needed for headaches or whatever it might be. It's not just like you open up shop and just have like the cough drop drawer and the, you know, Advil drawer, and whoever needs, has a need can come in, get whatever they want. I think that's what, how it looks in some people's minds. And then when they find out that that's not the way it is, they wonder, well, what can you do then? If you can't give us anything that we want, what can you do?
Wow. Well, thank you for shedding that light. I think this is so important for the general public to hear, and also nurses that aren't, you know, they've never been school nurses to really understand everything that goes. It's like you're totally pulling the strings behind the curtain and really have a lot of responsibility. And so I have so much respect for you and school nurses, because Lord knows, just the emotional, psychological effects of everything that's happening right now, that would be, I'm sure there are days that it's just like, okay. So my next question would be, I know that you're a holistic nurse. How do you debrief, you know, after a really hard day, or like, you know, I can't imagine the kinds of things that you might bear witness to or have exposure to. Like, how do you keep the boundaries? How do you take care of your own mind, body, and spirit in this role?
Elizabeth, it's hard. And it's, as far as nursing goes, it might be one of the most emotionally laborious nursing roles I've had. And I have worked, this is my third year, being a licensed school nurse full time, but before that I worked in inpatient med surg float nursing in the hospital, and I've worked in inpatient psychiatry. I've worked in correctional facilities, working as the nurse on staff in correctional facilities for adults and for adolescents. And I would have to say they're all very emotionally laborious. But being a school nurse is somehow more emotionally laborious. I've witnessed more traumatizing things as a school nurse than I have in other roles as a nurse. And it is hard to have those boundaries and to do that self-care. But I try to have a pretty regimented expectation of myself to always get outside every single day and do some sort of non-duty break during the middle of my workday. So it's generally going to walk around the pond that's closest to where I work and just either process things that are going on throughout the workday or just not think about work at all for that half hour that I have a break. Also trying to, when I get home, just shut off any kind of work-related anything and not deal with it until the morning when I return to work. A third thing that I try to do as many days as I can, and it's hard to commit and say, oh, I do this every single day, but just take that quiet time, whether it's meditation or journaling or something, just a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, 10 minutes on a good day, of just spending that time just silent with myself and just being able to take care of my soul before I'm taking care of anybody else.
Wow, those are all such great exercises and ideas. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know what, this completely is applicable to any nurse right now in the fire dealing with this pandemic, because of the depth of the trauma, right, that's we're exposed to every moment if we choose to look at the news, is so many things are happening that are outside of our control. And for a lot of us, that's really scary, because being in the helping profession, we want to save everyone, right? And
yeah, you want to be able to help and do something to help in like in all ways possible.
Yeah, so let's talk about this because we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I think this is so apropos for any human, especially nurses right now. And that's that if you are a nurse and you're feeling like because you don't work in the ICU, because you don't work in the ER, that you're somehow not doing enough, I just want to reflect back to you that wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing is okay and it's enough. And everybody, I believe, has a very special, very unique role. And we're doing ourselves in the universe a disservice by wasting one nanosecond feeling like we're not doing enough. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I also feel like the people who are on the front lines right now, the people who are basically, metaphorically speaking, in the fire right now, or in the fire, you know, heading right into the fire coming up, are going to eventually need somebody to support them in some way. I mean, they need it now and they're going to need it then, you know, they're going to need it down the road. We can't all be in the fire at once. There's got to be an outside support structure helping everybody who's on the front lines right now too. And I like to think of myself as part of that structure, holding up the people who are right on the front lines right now. And just also when somebody has to tap out, maybe some of us have to tap in too.
Oh, I'm getting angel bumps. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I love that metaphor and the visual, and it takes all of us. And I'm loving what I'm seeing. People that, you know, the silos are coming down, people are rolling up our sleeves. And while yes, there's so much trauma and so much death, there are so many beautiful things that are germinating and cultivating and that are going to be born out of this, that's what I choose to focus on. So thank you for sharing all of that. And again, thank you for your role and this. And something was coming up that I wanted to ask you. Oh yeah. So you're speaking of support, which is, that's one of my most favorite things to cultivate, to talk about, to hold space for. Are there communities for school nurses that you guys can like get together and debrief and like talk about ideas and brainstorm, Shannon?
Oh yeah, there definitely is. Firstly, I work in a large urban school district, and there are a lot of public school nurses in the district where I work. And we're such a unique and wonderful family of nurses. And we debrief with each other all the time. We have such a great support system within the district that I work specifically. And then there's also the SNOME, it's called, School Nurses Organization of Minnesota. And there is the NASN, which is the National Association of School Nurses. All three of these organizations, I would say, especially the district where I work, but then SNOME and NASN are all great resources for school nurses or for people who are interested in school nursing to refer to, catch up with anybody who's involved with any of those three things. And any school nurse would be happy to talk to anybody else about it or support another school nurse in need.
Okay, that makes me so happy because it really does take a hive of people. So that's the NASN, the National Association of School Nurses.
Correct.
And then SNOM is the...
It's the School Nurses Organization of Minnesota.
Perfect. Okay, awesome. Now, since you are a school nurse and since we're out of school right now, well, we're in school, but we're virtual. Do you have like a tip or two that you could share for parents that might be listening to help keep the sanity, the mental health, the holistic well-being to kind of help get them through this really difficult time that you want to share?
Sure. And I think I'll take that in like two different ways. I think The first way would be just directly relating to the current pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. I think a lot of people are worried, concerned. They don't feel like they have enough information. And part of that is because there is not enough information out there yet. Like, it's such a new thing that the information is just developing day by day. And the best places, in my opinion, to keep track of that information are the Minnesota Department of Health, if you're in Minnesota, or the CDC in the United States. Their websites will have the most up-to-date information to share with you, accurate and up-to-date. And there's links everywhere on their sites that would probably address whatever questions a person has, if they're concerned about their own symptoms, or if they should be sending their child to daycare, or certain things that are still going on right now, even with school closure. And then on the other hand, I think something that's going on with parents right now, because a lot of people are working from home and their kids are learning at home. And I think we as nurses, but sometimes as parents who aren't nurses, or as sometimes just as women, mothers, but I'm not going to exclude fathers, get this idea in their heads that we have to do everything, and we have to do it right, and we have to do it now in order to make sure that the whole world doesn't fall apart. And this is a really special, unprecedented time that you have to give yourself some grace, and give your children some grace, and give your coworkers some grace, because not everybody is going to do everything exactly the way it would be done if the world was normal right now. This is not a normal time, and things just might end up by the wayside a little bit, might not be perfectly perfect, but that we're going to get through it. The only way to get through it is to just move through it.
Pearl, you're giving me all the angel bumps today. Okay, this is so helpful. Okay, number one, the information is not available, because this has never happened before in the history of time. Not like this. I mean, there have been other pandemics. So check out the Department of Health for whatever state you're in, as well as the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, for up-to-date information. That's awesome. And I couldn't agree more with your suggestion about basically have grace and you know, patience for everybody's grieving right now. And you know, there are 5 stages of grief, and we could go through the grief process in 5 minutes, and every 2 days, every week. So, and everybody grieves differently. So I love, this is such very helpful and transformational information you're sharing with us, Shannon. So thank you.
Thank you.
Of course. Okay. Now I've kind of go back and forth, but it feels like it would be fun to talk about this whole idea, because we started out talking about you follow your intuition and you're very creative. And so if there is a divine download, basically some information or wisdom that you have received that really has stuck with you, that has allowed you to really become this amazing human that you are, that you would want to share with the audience today.
Well, thank you for saying that to begin with, but I think if there's any intuition that's ever come to me, I mean, I think it does come to me from time to time, that helps me understand my own path in life and maybe what's important and what's not, or what's important for right now and what can be saved for later. And I think most of it just is, if you're at a point where you need to make a decision, and you just go deeply inside, you're not going to make the wrong choice. Whatever choice you make is based on what you needed right then. And even if later on you have to choose something different, that's for then. Whatever choice you make right now that your mind or your soul or whatever you want to call it is telling you is not going to be wrong.
You are dropping the wisdom bombs left and right, girl. Oh, okay. So I love this. So just to recap, when you're making a decision, and we're making lots of decisions right now, it's amazing how being forced to stop, to slow down, and to go within, because we really don't have a choice. Some of us come to this kicking and screaming. Others, we've been here for a while. And when you have to make a decision, go deep inside and know and trust and believe and allow that whatever you choose in the moment is exactly right for where you are in that moment. So good. I love that, Shannon. So, so, so good. Okay. So, are you open to having people connect with you on the socials, or if they have a question about school nursing, to connect?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So where would be the best place for people to connect with you, Shannon?
I think honestly, the best place right now, if somebody wanted to connect with me and they had school nursing questions, would just be to go on my Instagram, which is shannon.rn.
Shannon.rn. Perfect. And that's your Instagram. Sweet. Well, this has been, I learned so much about school nursing. I learned a lot about intuition and so much wisdom about really how to, you know, manage this thing called life, especially when you're interacting. I really loved what you shared about this is the most emotionally laborious work you've ever done. And so I'm glad that you have the tools that you have, right, to be able to honor both your journey at your date, like for your profession, and also for your own spirit. That's a real gift, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And when I think about, I know I did say it's the most emotionally laborious work that I've done, and it is true. I'm not going back on that at all. But for some reason, it also keeps me motivated and keeps me coming back. So it's not like it's emotionally laborious to the point of burnout, I don't think. I think it's the right challenge, and then just having to find that balance of where do I draw the line of where I have to create the strong boundary, make sure that this emotional labor isn't burning me out.
I think that is a great way to close out, because Lord knows as nurses, there's definitely burnout, and especially with all the trauma that's circulating right now. So such sage wisdom you share with us today, Shannon, that I think is really applicable across the board to nurses, healers, helpers, humans. So thank you so much for your service and your wisdom and for taking the time to connect with me today.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's always good to talk to you.
So good. So that will be a wrap for today's show. I want to thank you all, and my heart and my soul goes out to each and every one of you. And I hope wherever you are taking a little bit of time each day to have some gratitude for what you're grateful for. That's really good for your immune system. Make sure you're getting outside every day to get some fresh air. It's great for your lungs. And keep taking those baby steps and taking the time to go inward to reflect on what is it that you really want to do on this orbit around the sun. So keep taking care, sending you lots of love and light. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.